Okay, good evening, everybody. My name is Diego, chairman of the Institute of Classical Osteopathy. And tonight we have Robert Carwitz, vice chairman of the Institute of Classical Osteopathy, Ben Adams, who is one of the directors of the course, and obviously Chris Batten, who is the director of the course and the diploma director. So Chris graduated from the John Bonham College. He studied under John Bonham in the late 80s, I believe. And then he's been teaching all around the world, basically. He has been working on the diploma of classical osteopathy for, you know, many years. He has developed the course in several occasions, always looking for the best outcome of the course so the students can take the best of these studies. And nowadays, Chris lives in Canada, so he's also traveling from Canada to Europe and all over the world. So tonight, Chris is going to be discussing about the diploma, answering some questions, some basic questions about why we do this diploma and the studies and the length of the course and the cost and, you know, the questions that will come up. So, hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello, good. Thank you.
Thank you. So, it's all yours. Thank you.
So, we want to take a look at our postgraduate diploma course. It's a specialized course in classical osteopathy. It's held in three overlapping stages. So, our foundation stage, applied, and the advanced stage. And this is held over roughly an 18-month period. What's the aim of what we're trying to do? We're aiming to provide a thorough education to enable you to effectively practice classical approach to osteopathy. What do you think you'll get out from it? Graduates from our courses seem to have increased confidence, have a much broader scope of practice, have a grasp of an osteopathic approach to healthcare in general, have a refined set of treatment skills to deal with more complex cases, and of course, become members of the Institute and can access the Institute's continued education pathway as classical osteopaths. So the question arises, what is a classical osteopath? A classical osteopath is a highly trained physician with extraordinary ability based on a thorough knowledge and understanding of this traditional approach to this established profession. Their ability comes from an important lineage, direct connection to the beginnings of the profession, when osteopathy was seen and applied as a system of healthcare applicable to most aspects of health. It began with our forefather there, Andrew Taylor Still. One of his students was John Martin Little John, who followed in his stead and established his own colleges, both in Chicago and in the UK. We'll talk more about that in a bit. And he was the teacher of John Wernham, who founded the Institute and was our teacher. Much of what we do is based on the teachings from John Wernham. As me sat beside him there, and my task mainly was to provide that glass of orange. So much of what Mr. Wernham was doing was teaching Little John's principles, maintaining the continuity from the forefathers of osteopathy, publishing their works, practicing, explaining quite a lot of detail their approach to healthcare. And so we want to continue this idea, these notions of classical osteopathy. So what is classical osteopathy? The dictionary defines the word classical as an exemplary standard within a long established form or style, such as classical ballet, or relating to the first significant period of an era of study, such as classical mechanics. And I think classical osteopathy, the term falls into both there as an exemplary standard, long-established form or style of osteopathy, but also relating to a significant period. We choose in many respects to follow the teachings of Still, who began osteopathy as a system of healthcare, even running hospitals, but even more so taking on the work of his early student, John Martin Littlejohn, who in his stead established Littlejohn College in Chicago in 1900, and soon had a hospital up and running where they're dealing with many different cases and conditions, you know, way from the sort of musculoskeletal approach of these days. They were dealing with everything from pneumonia to meningitis to all manner of different conditions. Question arises, why is classical osteopathy special? Why, you know, why choose to come on one of our courses? Classical osteopathy applies a gentle but firm approach to releasing restrictions within the human framework with an end to improving not only the musculoskeletal ease, but also way beyond that into improving the overall health of the patient. The technical skills are meaningful based on the application of engineering principles to the human body with their far-reaching effects into its function. Therefore, it has a broad scope of application and an efficiency at addressing the causes of the body's many ills. Question arises also, you know, why does it take up to 18 months? Why such a long course? We've experimented with this course over the years, running it in separate stages and just running a sort of, you know, more basic level and found that the students were competent, but not always efficient, apart from those that really followed through and studied on their own and came back to the Institute for more following. So we wanted to maintain a higher standard of our graduates, if you like, and people that were competent and confident to take, you know, treatment, you know, further and sort of deeper and in a longer sort of period of time. So the postgraduate course has evolved over many years, and part of it, that evolution originates from a four-year undergraduate course content. So much of the actual content that we use was actually taken from the undergraduate programs, looking at, you know, the sort of key elements that we see as classical osteopathy. There's a lot to cover in this course, both with theory and practical skills to acquire. And for many, this may be a paradigm shift, which takes time and nurturing to assimilate with our mentoring program through a series of tutorials. So what do you gain from the course? The foundation stage gives you the basis. I'll say that again. Foundation stage gives you the basis to begin your classical osteopathic practice. We're looking to get you to the level where you can assess your patient through a case history to examination and into the treatment process. To formulate a distinctly traditional osteopathic diagnosis that leads to a treatment plan. And to engage in a body adjustment process that continues to assess the patient's needs in detail and flows into an effective remedial process. With regular tutorial discussions and the use of a reflective log, the applied stage will guide you through the process of applying osteopathic thinking in clinical diagnoses. We have our own distinct language, our own distinct way of diagnosing that goes above and beyond medical or musculoskeletal analysis. Also developing communication of osteopathic thinking with patients and peers. It's an important part of practice to be able to explain what it is that you're doing, what it is you're finding in terms of assessment, and also to be able to relate that to colleagues. So part of this process nurtures that it within you, continues to let you evolve with your clinical skills and application of these varied sort of theories on osteopathy. Also developing the skill and habit of clinical reflection. So, you know, you're learning throughout your practice. Originally, this was held in a clinic environment, in our clinic in London, which had to shut down because of the pandemic. But we've gained a lot through the process of running a clinic into making use of the tutorial time and space to help the students take this sort of theoretical approach into their practice and develop the skills to continue that. Also experiencing treatment approaches and responses, enabling the student to recognize how their treatment is progressing, what to expect in terms of response, and so on. The final stage, the advanced stage, consolidates the teaching to date and brings it to a deeper level of knowledge and a greater breadth of application. So you should be able to independently formulate effective treatment plans with this new approach. You should be able to interpret and respond to treatment responses. So understanding why certain patterns of treatment cause certain responses in terms of varying symptoms intensifying at times as they drift back into a more acute stage, which is part of a natural physiological response to the healing process. But the healing process, inflammation is part of a healing response. And very often taking a patient back through time begins to explore that. So you need to understand what is a response to healthy treatment and also what problems might arise in that process. Also further develop your practical skills and technical skills with an emphasis on the natural laws, osteopathic principles, mechanics, and neurophysiology. So, the hows and whys behind what we are doing, as well as the refined sort of techniques. Which brings us to the question, why? Why do you want to study osteopathy? So often at the beginning of courses, we're looking into this. And a lot of people seem to think there's something missing in their osteopathy. What we interpret that as, principles. The original principles of osteopathy are kind of mentioned in a lot of education, but not explored extensively. And this is a very vital part of what we do. So the principles are concepts, fundamental laws, reasons for being, for doing certain elements of what we do. It's the why of our treatment approach. Why are we using long levers? Why are we relating to kind of mechanics and so on and so forth? Physiological laws, why does the body behave as it does relative to certain influences, forces, and so on? We need to understand, why is a patient in the shape they're in and how can we deal with it sort of in a global context within physiological parameters? Mechanical principles, why does the body respond as it does to forces exerted on it or through it? Yeah, so understanding, particularly in relation to the spine, of course, why certain areas are vulnerable to compressive forces, tension forces, torsional forces, and how best to approach unifying that, to release that, to integrate that into the rest of the body's adjustment, if you like. All of this so we can best adjust or help the person to adapt to their environment or understand how to adjust their environment to better suit them. So, encouraging a person's body sort of flexibility and movement so that they can deal with their environment, even sort of dietary advice and so on that fits in with their needs, but also encouraging people to pay more attention to their posture, and as in a sort of office arrangement, arrange their office around them rather than them bending and twisting to fit into their office arrangement. So we have principles so much in the background of our thinking. other key element from a classical perspective is, of course, is the mechanics. And we talk about the applied mechanics. So we are examining how the body, the spine and pelvis adapt to the forces of gravity primarily, how mechanics relate to physiology and health conditions, and how disturbances, you know, in mechanics can tie up to predisposition to ailments and diseases and so on. Really clearly understanding how the spine and pelvis respond to aberrant forces. We're constantly dealing with people who've fallen, who've strained themselves, who's lifting badly, you know, very, very asymmetrical postures or movement. And, you know, we need to understand the background to that and the underlying forces that are, you know, inherent in the system that we can appeal to. Mechanical principles of adjusting the body unity, we are much more concerned with, you know, the totality of the body. When Mr. Wernham referred to body adjustment, he was talking about it more than just this sort of routine that we use, we'll talk about in a moment, is much more concerned with making a total adjustment to the entire pattern, you know, within the body. So really taking heed of the unity of the system, rather than, you know, paying lip service to that and, you know, making small changes, you know, here and there in the body. It's about adjusting the entire pattern of the body in one session. And of course, ultimately, from that, understanding the principles of stabilizing the body mechanics. One of the things that Mr. Wernham used to talk about was the, you know, how relatively easy it is to adjust the body. It's another whole kettle of fish, another ball game, to stabilize the mechanics. And people that have approached the Institute from abroad for courses, quite often that's the key element that they can't establish in their work, is actually stabilizing a condition. And, you know, we use the mechanics to better understand the forces going through the body and how to, you know, to resolve them, how to find balance and ease, and what is more efficient in terms of the body's usage and body's framework. All of this so we can more efficiently, effectively adjust our patients and move them towards a greater stability and hence longevity of improvement. Traditional techniques in a contemporary context, we talk about the way that we use the body's movements in terms of long lever technique. It's the most traditional approach in osteopathy as far as we know, and it has a unique set of qualities to it. It is gentle but firm handling. You see Mr. Wernham performing a side roll, and it's firm, it's decisive, it's not aggressive or detrimental at all to the patient. It's adaptable in terms of the strength of adjustment. These levers have enormous sort of variability in the way they're used in terms of accuracy and strength, and so on. We're also integrating the release of soft tissue and joint movement in one. It's a conjoint release. So we're trying to tease out release restrictions in fascia, in the joint structures, and coordinate one with the other. And again, with this sort of mechanics model underneath our thinking. Each application is local, but within a global context. So again, we're adjusting the unity of the body, always considering, you know, the effect of one area on another, the pelvis on the rest of the spine, the head at the, you know, poised at the top, and that effect on the sort of body mechanics, and so on. And ultimately, we put all this together into a routine, and it's not universal. There are, you know, obviously plenty of times where this could be, we could work more specifically, more directly in acute illness, sometimes in acute musculoskeletal disorders, where we can't lie somebody supine or prone, etc. But much of what we do is based around a routine that has a mechanical basis and so on. So let's just look at that. So our body adjustment, or BA. Now I've got a little B in my bonnet about this one. excuse me, it's not the same as the GOT, the general osteopathic treatment. Why? The GOT is thorough all body treatment, which is good, but the BA, the body adjustment, is a very refined process with physiological ends, not about anatomical landmarks and measuring. We're not trying to increase the range of motion of every little part. We're looking to coordinate the mobility between each part of the framework within a global context, and looking to achieve that with a physiological endpoint. I've just sped that up so you can see the rest of the treatment. Body adjustment is based on mechanical principles and models. So our, you know, models of aligned polygons of forces, key points in the spine, weak points, and so on, become very much the sort of background to our treatment process. As I've said, the objectives are physiological. We're looking for a change in quality of movement, tone, texture of soft tissues, circulation patterns, and neurological reflexes. All of these are part of this process, rather than just trying to move, you know, one structure relative to another or just release some sort of tightness. It's a deeply integrated process. We focus on the whole body unity through a global approach, understanding cause and effect. So much of what we're emphasizing is trying to see the patient from a perspective of cause and effect. So somebody comes to you with a knee problem. You know, why hasn't that knee mended, even if it's an injury? Or why does that knee problem exist if there is no sort of predisposing injury? Yeah. Because of the, we're looking at the way that the forces through the spine and body are acting on that knee, rather than just looking at sort of, you know, diagnosing what tissues are causing what symptoms. We're trying to understand, you know, why that condition is the way it is in the first place. And that goes for physiological conditions and general health picture. You know, why is somebody's, you know, thorax congested and they got bronchitis? Why is somebody's stomach irritated? Going back to, you know, traditional approach to osteopathy, as in the healthcare. So moving away from this sense of, you know, purely symptoms, tissues causing symptoms. And to quote Little John here, we are making the same mistake that we charge to the rest of the medical profession, viz. Or regarding putting the effect in the place of cause, neglecting etiology while emphasizing incidental or accidental signs of inherent condition, emphasizing the method and overlooking the principles, which is of first importance. So Little John was all about trying to find the cause of causes and directing ourselves towards that. And sometimes we have to sort of work backwards through the evolution of the condition to get to those cause of causes. But the more that we can deal with things on a causative basis and understanding, you know, what is a cause and what is an effect, you know, somebody's knee or hip joint, whatever, that's in trouble, why is it in trouble? Not how is it in trouble. We can identify, you know, the symptoms, we can identify even the tissues that are involved, even quite specifically, but it's far more important to understand why and to get behind that in your treatment process. So, some practicalities. Where are we hosting this course? In a sweet little village hall, Pease Lake Village Hall, Walking Bottom, Pease Lake. There's your postal code for your sat nav. Pretty old building, nicely laid out, plenty of room, plenty of space and facilities for our teaching. Down to the bare essentials, here we got price and payments. So the total amount for the 18-month course is £5,000. Registration on sign-up requires a £400 deposit. The balance after any discount, and there are various discounts, will be spread equally over agreed installments. The installments themselves and discounts. Discount for payment in full, payments over 12 months. We have rates for ICO graduates and also for new graduates in osteopathy. if you need to get hold of us for further information, either go to the website or icofrontdesk@gmail.com. And there is the website address. So hopefully we'll get to see you. Come and join us and come and find out what osteopathy actually has to offer, what the original scope of osteopathy was and how that scope evolved over the last 100 or so years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. That was such a thorough explanation of the diploma course that we have, and you covered so many things. I do agree with everything, and in fact, I just finished one of these diplomas in Spain, the foundation course, and I have to say that students welcome when we, it was just 5 seminars, and they do appreciate how we develop step by step rather than a weekend on techniques or a weekend on a specific subject. So we take gradually the student from the basic thing, you know, developing in every seminar. So imagine by the end you finish the practical side, the mentoring, and then the advanced. And also, you know, I like to emphasize always that we always talk in we talk applied physiology, applied anatomy. Is nothing worse than learning muscle attachments or nerves if you don't apply that into the treatment. So it is all an application. And obviously the students from week one, they find in clinic, they improve how the clinic with the patients and so on. So it's such a practical developing course all the time. So yeah, that's my point of view. Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. That's a really good, thorough explanation of what we've done with the course over the last couple of years and how we've developed the separate bits of the course into this one complete course, which really takes people from where they are to a completely different practitioner at the end. There are a few other questions that people sometimes ask, which is, do I have to attend every seminar? And the answer is yes, I'm afraid you do. But that's a good thing because it's very enjoyable. Is there homework and other assignments? Yes, there are. But it's within it's not onerous. It's an enjoyable learning process, and it takes you on such an incredible journey through osteopathy, which often makes people fall back in love with osteopathy as well when they're becoming a bit bored of practice, and they also often ask what the practical sort of lecture ratio is, and it's I think it's probably about 50-50, isn't it, Chris?
It varies in, you know, depending on which sort of topic you're dealing with. Some require more explanation, but what we're trying to do with the new kind of approach to the course is have more active learning in the classroom anyway. So maybe there'll be more reading, there'll be a few things that you can download to watch and so on to bring you up to speed with the knowledge, if you like. But what we're trying to do, and we've been working with particularly with a group in Italy, and I've been working with Ben and yourself with that, is actually bringing the students to, you know, have their hands on sort of earlier and with more scope than just about the treatment and the technique. So learning to feel certain aspects, learning to identify patterns and relate to the mechanics and so on.
Yeah, it was really great to be involved with a couple of groups recently. Obviously, I was over in Italy with you and Ben, and on their second seminar, and it's wonderful to see how they develop their skills over that 4-day period, and we teach it in such a way that they're actually asking what the next bit is, and that's the structure of the course takes them onto that, and so it's really interesting how that's been developed. And also the same with I had a trip to Spain with Diego just over a week ago, and did their last seminar with them, which was again fabulous to see how this group of people have really developed their skills and their knowledge and understanding of osteopathy. It's a very enjoyable experience, and they all love it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a key thing.
Yeah, they are all experienced osteopaths. Of course, they have been in practice maybe 5-10 years, but they all find their own place within the diploma course, and it's they develop from it, and the ideas get more structured. So they get bits from, you know, different techniques here and there, but sometimes they get lost in so many techniques. And with the course, is like trying to bring down to the basics of, as Chris was talking about, the principles and how you apply those principles. And of course, having that stability with the patient in terms of the symptoms and the progress of the patient in the clinic, that is so important.
So one of the things that Diego mentioned earlier was about Chris living in Canada, and obviously this is a UK-based course. You know, we're a charity, so we're a kind of non-profit organisation, so we're not about making money. We budget so we can fly people in like Chris from Canada or Hendrik Vleck in from Switzerland to do the lecturing, because we believe in getting the very best people we can in to deliver the material that we can. So you get the most benefit from it.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. Could I just introduce Ben, because Ben is here tonight as well, and he is the director of the practical side of the course, which is in the middle of the course. We have the foundation of the first 4 or 5 weeks of the course, then we go into the practical side and then the advanced side. So Ben can explain a little bit more how this is going to be run.
Okay, thank you, Diego. Yes, so I ran the clinic before it shut, and I spent years there as a student and then as a tutor. So I think I was there for 8 years in total. One of the things that we found was that whilst refinement of technique is obviously very important, the main issue was developing the osteopathic diagnosis and developing that skill. So having you know, that experience of a decade of running a postgraduate clinic, we've then taken that and brought that into the online course. So it's much more focused on the osteopathic diagnosis, because with the 4-day seminars, we find students' technique is vastly improved, not just in those 4 days, but in seminar to seminar. So there is no longer a need to refine technique in the same way that we had in the clinic. So refocusing on the osteopathic diagnosis also allows you to develop that skill in your own clinics and to bring that into your work straight away. The second thing it does is it allows us to be more flexible. So having a clinic is brilliant, but because it's set in a location, not everyone can make it. So by shifting it online, what we're doing is we're being much more flexible and allowing people who can't make it for travel or family reasons, etc., to take advantage of that tutorial. In terms of the length of time, we're looking at our 1-4 sort of tutor to student ratio, and then having hour long or slightly longer tutorial sessions once a fortnight. So the idea is that you have a tutorial session, you can then go away and work on things for a couple of weeks, come back and then develop things further. It acts as a bridge between that foundation stage and the advanced stage. So the idea is that you will have 3 months or so of working through your diagnosis using the technique, and then can come into the advanced stage with that knowledge there, ready to bring that through and look at some more advanced concepts. So those are the real advantages of the online course over having the clinic.
Can I just add something to that as well?
Sure, yeah.
Part of the emphasis early on is like working on your osteopathic diagnosis, specifically, you know, this classical approach. And I must say, over the years, I found that to be a driving force in terms of learning classical osteopathy. If your ability to assess is ahead of your ability to treat, it's always drawing you forward because you know, you know, you're going to know what it is you need to achieve, especially if you interact with other osteopaths and, you know, even work with some of their patients. We had the sort of good fortune of working with Mr. Wernham's patients, which is obviously a completely different thing. But we could see, you know, what advancement in, you know, treatment over, you know, quite long periods actually looked like in terms of freeing the pelvis, freeing the lumbar spine, gaining stability. So, you know, having that drive towards the, you know, the osteopathic diagnosis is in itself a sort of, you know, a pulling force to encourage you to learn and so on, I find in practice anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an important keystone. And one of the problems we have with the applied section before was that there was an over-focus on technique refinement and not necessarily on the osteopathic diagnosis side. So that's really why the refocus. And then once you've developed that as a skill, you can take advantage of the advanced stage that much more as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the advanced stage, we're taking the sort of practical skills and much more integrating, you know, the mechanical concepts, because we're able to at that stage, looking in more detail at the way that we perceive sort of, you know, disease processes, the way that we understand, you know, the neurology of the sort of spine and the sympathetics and its sort of interactions through the body systems and so on. So it really begins to bring things together into a much more, you know, competent practitioner and hopefully, you know, very solid background for, you know, starting classical osteopathy.
Yes, thank you. That is very well explained of how we run the diploma. And as it was mentioned before, the ICO has been doing this course diploma for many years, but now we have refined this method, and we think to have this practical model in the middle is, as Ben was saying, it's a bridge between the foundation into the advanced and the understanding of the student. The student needs to develop in a certain way with that pause that the clinic gives you and the hands-on and the diagnosis of the patient. It looks simple, but it's not like Chris was saying before, it's not symptoms, signs, how you say his symptoms causing, how is it?
Oh, just causing symptoms.
That's it, sorry. So it is much more difficult than that. And you can see that from the students, as Robert was saying, last week we had the students doing the presentations, and you can see that they are grasping the foundation of the course, but they need that further step into the clinic and guiding into the patients and see different patients. And it's not just the low back pain, how you relate that into the mechanics, the physiology, the development of the symptoms of the patient, and bring that all that into a session, in a treatment session with the patient. And obviously, then we go into the advanced section where we will talk more in depth, or you will see new faces into the course, different things. So it is all there. We have been doing this for many, many years. I mean, and we have learned and we have developed the course, and it's all out for the student, for the osteopath to become better osteopath, to bring a bigger scope of practice, which I think is... it's great. It's amazing. It's such a wonderful diploma and course.
Thank you, Diego. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Ben, and thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. It's also going to be up on YouTube, hopefully reasonably soon, so you can actually see the slides that Chris was showing on that. It will be on the Institute of Classical Osteopathy YouTube channel, but we thought we'd put it up on here first because it's easier to get a podcast up and edited and published than it is a full video. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye-bye.